The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
It certainly does. We are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning. My partner in crime, Terry, is off on assignment. He's actually out on the East Coast checking out the fall color changes with his beautiful bride, so they're having a good time. And wish them well and safe travels. My name is Wynn Carpenter, and I have a special guest this morning, Camille King. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we have you in here because you are currently running for Gateway School District position there, correct?
I am running for Gateway School District.
Okay, so what area does that encompass, just so our listeners have an idea?
Well, Gateway School District is actually pretty much north of 299, but the Area 2, which is the area that I'm running for, is about on the west side of I-5, it's about north of Oasis.
Okay.
And on the east side, kind of starts at Risen King and goes north, and then it stops just shy of the lake. So
okay.
A little south of the lake.
Okay. So it's not a huge huge geographical area, but you have quite a few people in that area, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the number? Do you have any idea what the voting count is up there?
It's around 9,000-10,000 voters.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. And you're reaching out to them.
I am reaching out to them. I'm, trying to reach them on an individual basis. I feel like that's where they're going to get to know me the best. And,
right.
And where I'm going to get to hear what their feedback is and what their concerns are in the district. And then, of course, I do like getting on the radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
My first couple interviews I was extremely nervous for, but the longer I get into this race, just the more comfortable I am.
Well, that's good. And you're just talking to me and you're just telling me what's going on, what you're doing out there and whatnot.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how long – okay, so when this all started happening because of the vacancy that was created last year, is that when you decided you wanted to jump into the race, or what happened?
Okay, so actually when the vacancy happened last year, well, first I'll go back a little farther. A couple years ago, I had people try to tell me I needed to run for the school board just because they felt like I would be a good person on the board and be able to bring some positive changes.
Okay.
And I knew of other people that were going and just was like, oh, there's good people going for the school board, and didn't feel a sense of urgency. And then when Cheryl resigned last year and that vacancy came open, then I had other people that I knew that were running for that. They were trying to get in by interview. And so some good people. And so so I sat back to let them interview. And then one of the ones I was supporting, she actually found out that she lived in the wrong area of Gateway. And so that's when I guess I need to do this. And so at that point, it was a little too late to get in by interview.
Okay.
And it was going to be a special election. So I just went all in. And and here I am running for the position.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So what's your driving force as to why you want to sit on the school board? What's your thought behind that and how are you getting there?
So my thought, why I want to be on the school board is because I feel like I can bring changes that will make the school board a better place to be. I mean, the school district a better place to be. And basically right now, and the sense of urgency comes from what I'm seeing the state legislators do, and Newsom signing in some of the bills and not signing others. Some of them are not constitutional. And if we have a board that just kind of lets these bills go through, there's dangers right now to families, in my opinion, things that are separating parents from kids. And some of the rules and laws that come down, you know, they limit teachers as well. And I just felt like we needed someone who's going to stand up for the children, going to stand up for the families, and use our Constitution, because that's what it's written for, is to stand on when we're facing, you know, laws that are not within the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just know that I can, you know, I can really seek out the resources to, you know, to help me know where I'm supported, but also break down the Constitution to figure out where we're supported in standing against some of the bills that are coming through.
Okay.
And also my own kids, like they were in public school until COVID, and then I pulled them from public school just because I didn't like the masking, I didn't like the isolation, the, you know, if they missed a day for allergies, you'd either have to get them a COVID test or keep them out for 10 days, and they weren't learning. And then I started seeing that, you know, curriculum changes and other things coming down. Parents were being limited in how much time they could spend on the campus or being able to visit and help out in classrooms. And so I pulled my kids from public schools at that time. And I really would like my kids to have that opportunity because there's a lot that public schools can offer. So, for instance, Central Valley High School, they've got a really great robotics program. And that's one that I know my son would love to do and he'd thrive in. But if the Central Valley, if I don't feel like the public school system, and I'm not saying the teachers, I'm not saying these schools specifically, mm-hmm. but if I don't feel like the system is safe for them, then I'm not going to feel comfortable putting them in those schools, and they're going to miss out on some of these opportunities. So for me, that was my drive, was I want to make these schools safe where I feel like my own kids can go there mm-hmm. and, you know, and get them back into public schools where they're with their peers. They have all of the sports opportunities, different electives, you know, that are available to them, other extracurricular. I just really feel like the school board does have a role to play in making changes to make the school safer for the kids.
Okay. Now, I'm naive to how a school board works in total, but do they pick the curriculum?
They do get to approve curriculum.
Okay.
I don't know if they select it from scratch or if they just look at the options that are given to them. And
then they approve
it. And then they approve or don't approve. And okay. Right now, Newsom is working on a bill to basically make it so that the school board cannot turn down certain curriculums.
So they want to force stuff down our throats.
Right. I know you know the Constitution better than I do, but as you know, in the California Constitution, you know, it does say that it's the school's responsibility to provide learning that will improve intellectual, scientific, moral, and agricultural improvement. So if the school board, who swears the oath to the Constitution to protect the Constitution, is not allowed to oversee the curriculum, how can they stand by their constitutional responsibility?
Right.
So to me, it's just we really need to look at what, you know, what we can stand on
right.
to protect the schools right now.
Now, as a candidate, did you take the oath when you signed the paperwork, when you signed up at the ROV office to run for this race?
We did swear the oath to sign up.
Okay.
And then the next oath when I'm elected will be ceremonious, but right. We take the oath when we sign.
Okay, so when you take the oath, you're taking the oath to support the federal and the California Constitution's in that order, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So because the California Constitution says that the federal Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Yes.
So that's where I always go back to that. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. it trumps, truly it trumps the California Constitution.
Correct.
So if we all stand, like you said, you know, you said you took the oath. I did the same when I filed some paperwork for a race that I'm going to be running.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I had to do the same thing, which kind of caught me off guard. I was like, well, wait, don't you do that once you're voted in? But maybe you do, like you said, ceremoniously, mm-hmm. you'd probably do that. So that's cool to hear that is actually being taken serious and that we're actually doing that. So for all these people that are actually running these races, they took an oath.
Yes.
And now you can go back to, okay, not only did they take the oath at signing the paperwork at the ROV office to do the race, but they most likely did it in a ceremoniously ceremonious event, but then they are failing it on both accounts. So what are they doing there? You know, that's where I'm looking at. It's like, well, wait a minute. Did you lie to us both times? You lied to get in to get the paperwork done, mm-hmm. and then you lied once you got in. So you're a liar? Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, or they don't take it seriously. And how many people that swear this oath, and I don't know the number to this, but how many don't even bother to read the Constitution or look into what they're swearing an oath to protect?
Amen.
And I take it seriously. If I swear an oath, that's an oath I take seriously.
Well, and that's why I've read even the California Constitution. The federal Constitution, you know, it's like this thick. It's like
right.
I don't know, 45, 50 pages of, mm-hmm. of little document, small print, but it's yep. a small document, concise. Then you get the California Constitution. It's like an inch and a half thick, and it's got right. all, it's got everything in there. All the changes, the 570-plus amendments to it, all the stuff that's been changed in it. And it, the some of the stuff that's in there is just absolutely ludicrous. You know, the color of a bus, you know, stuff like that. Just it's just crazy. But it's our constitution for the state. It's yep. been ratified by our state. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to read those things. And I have read those. So
yes.
Not it wasn't joyful. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I know.
It's like you want to pull your eyes out after you're done. And that's what fired me up on some of the stuff, too, mm-hmm. is that, you know, just reading that, because that's what we are mandated to live by if we take an oath. So,
yeah absolutely.
You have to know what your rule book is mm-hmm. so you know how to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anyway, that's why I was asking that.
I know that with people in political offices, there's a lot of times that they're afraid of litigation, and especially, I think, on the school boards, I've heard people say, we don't want to get our schools into litigation. Well, we cannot be afraid of litigation when we're standing on the Constitution.
Well, they're afraid of the threat of litigation.
Yeah. But yeah. if we're standing yeah. on the Constitution, then we will never lose. Like, it won't be any risk. And especially right now, so the parent notification policy that various districts and schools have been passing, which gives schools 3 days to notify parents if mm-hmm. if a child is being bullied, if they have suicidal thoughts, if they're transitioning, they have 3 days to notify parents. This is a policy that has been being passed throughout California. And there's people that are saying that they don't want the school to do that, the Gateway School District to pass that, because they don't want to get the school into unnecessary litigation. Well, to me, first off, there's a legal team that is offering pro bono, you know, support for school districts that mm-hmm. sign this into effect, which would put the school at no threat. But if you're standing on the Constitution, you're not putting the school district at risk.
Right.
And even if it goes all the way up to a Supreme Court, so be it. It goes to a Supreme Court, but you stand by the Constitution, and it's protecting you. So. Right.
And your duty is to protect the children.
Mm-hmm. It is to protect the children. So and that's
how could they go wrong there?
Right, exactly. And then also with that, there are school districts that are being sued for not notifying parents of things, and they're losing those battles. And the school districts are ending up paying out hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it is, you know, to me, where's your bigger risk?
Right.
And
right.
And just an FYI, and I know that I'm probably running ahead on the show a little bit, but this Wednesday night, Gateway Board is having another meeting, the school okay. board at Mountain Lakes Road. Okay. It's going to be at 5:30 for closed session, and then open session starts at 6 p.m. They do stream it. I'm not sure how to watch it on their, you know, watch it from home, mm-hmm. but they do stream it. And you can look up on Gateway Unified School District's website details about the board meeting. They are putting that parental notification policy up on the agenda. It's already on the agenda for Wednesday. And so see for yourself how things are happening, what the current school board members stand on, who's voting which way.
Right.
And because you have an opportunity, you don't even have to go there. You have an opportunity to watch from your home mm-hmm. this Wednesday and see for yourself what's happening at that school board.
And that's important because then you have to see who's voting which way. Mm-hmm. You have to hear it. You have to understand what's going on. Don't listen at hearsay, you know, from people saying, oh, yeah, I saw it or I heard about it, XYZ. No, listen for yourself. Watch for yourself that way, or even just be in the room. You can tell a lot by just being in the room, the nuances of what's mm-hmm. going on, the body language and the idle chatter and so forth. You can hear a lot and learn a lot by just being in the room. Keep your ears open, your mouth closed. Just hear what's going on. And yep. and learn and mm-hmm. find out who's really standing which way. And I agree. You know, that's great to offer that, to let people know about that. That's great. So where do they go to Gateway Unified School? Is there a website?
There's a website, okay. Gateway Unified School District, and then there's a governance tab. And you can go down to the board meetings, board meeting okay. agendas, and you can see, like, they get their meeting agenda out on Friday
okay.
for the next Wednesday, so there's 5 days to view what's going to be on the agenda.
Okay.
And yeah, it's on there. So I'm pretty excited to see that.
Okay.
Last month, it was also proposed. Two members voted in favor of parental notification, and two members voted not in favor. And that's really what's happening with this particular school district is ever since.
It's all split. Everything is split.
Every major decision is 2-2. And so whoever gets in the seat is going to make a difference one way or the other.
Right.
And so it's probably, like, for a single item election. Like, there's one item on the ballot. That this is one of the most important single item elections that I have seen.
Okay.
And I'm pretty excited.
That's good. Well, it's nice to hear that, you know, a candidate is excited about running the race and, you know, see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully you win. You know,
Thank you.
We all hope for that because I support you. Although I can only support you from afar because I can't vote for you because I don't live in the district or the area. So, but I want to encourage everybody that does. And already the ballots have already gone out, haven't they?
Yes, they have. They should have arrived last week. So I received mine. I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but I did receive mine.
And that's the one I saw on Facebook that's posted, and it had your name colored in, right?
Yes, absolutely. A few different people posted it. It wasn't. I know I posted it on my site, just, hey, look at this exciting day.
Yeah.
But then I saw a few other people posted it with their own ballots in there, so I was pretty excited
to see
that.
That's exciting. Good.
And it's funny because when you said that I'm excited about running, I wasn't excited about running when I first started to run.
Yeah.
I actually felt like I needed to more than I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I get involved and the more I see what's going on, the more excited I am because I know I can make a difference. And this is an exciting time in history to live.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity to be on the right side of history for this.
Absolutely.
And standing up for parents when parental rights are under attack from our, you know, the state we live in.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people that would disagree with that statement, but that's how I feel.
Well, they're wrong.
Yes. But, yeah, it's just – it's an exciting time. And, yes, it takes away time from my family. Yes, it – you know, it's a lot of work with – and I don't believe it pays. But it's just something I feel I need to do to contribute what I can contribute. And what's more important right now than the kids who are – you know, they don't have – this is what they're being exposed to. They don't have choices on – what they're being taught.
They don't have a voice.
They have some voice, but not a voice in,
making the change. And that's where you would come into play as representing the parents who elect you and the citizens that elect you into that position.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to represent that, and you're going to be the voice for them that do not, those that do not have that voice right now. And that would be great because then you can help make some changes there because some of these other people that are on that board that are being stubborn and got their heels locked in and truly aren't watching out for the children.
Mm-mm.
They are not. And it's frustrating. It's nice to see people that are running on these boards that are truly, that have kids at home still,
mm-hmm.
versus all the old guard that have grandkids now. You would think, I don't know, at least I do, I'm a grandfather, I would think that my granddaughter would be really happy if I voted the right way for her,
mm-hmm.
knowing that she's going to go into a school system at some point that's going to be safe, she's going to learn things that she needs to learn, not be exposed to the filth that's out there.
Yeah.
All absolutely. That stuff. I can't understand why these people that are of that age, grandparent age, that are not doing that. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It sickens me, actually, to be, you know, to watch these people when they make those votes. Because I've watched the school board meetings a couple times, and I've mm-hmm. been to a couple of them, and I just question, it's like, what are they doing? Why are they thinking this way? And is there something that's held over them by others?
I don't know. You wonder sometimes.
It makes you wonder.
But, yeah. I would hope not.
I would, too.
But I do wonder, too, like, if I had – I mean, I have kids, but if I had grandkids, I would think I would love the same – you know, with the same depth that I'm loving mm-hmm. my kids, and I think I would want to protect them to the same amount that I want to protect my kids.
Well, and I know, you know, now that I'm on the backside of the lifestyle – of the life, I see more urgency because I don't have that many more years, right? I mean, compared mm-hmm. to my kids who are, you know, raising kids now, they have a lot more years. Well – those years are done and gone for me, but I have to work harder and faster and smarter now as an older person to protect those younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just my family members. It's all the kids that are out there, and especially the kids that don't have that that health and hope at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kids really need it because
absolutely.
Guess what? They're our future society, and if they don't get it from a safe place at school
mm-hmm.
and they're not getting it at home, then our jail's always going to be full.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sad part because how can we help prevent this by doing like what you're doing? You're going to step in and do the right thing. So mm-hmm. I commend you for that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. And when you are talking about kids that are not getting, like there's things that they're missing at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's, where is my mind going with this? There, for my, one of my feelings is that there's talk about, you know, parents that aren't involved and how do we get parents more involved?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then there's also, you know, some of the same people that say they'd like to see more parents involved also feel like the schools are transparent. And in my opinion that, you know, we wouldn't have so many outraged parents if the schools were transparent, like they say they are. Mm-hmm. And then there's things, you know, that rather than opt out policies, I'd like to see some opt-in policies.
Yeah.
And that was something that a gentleman mentioned a few months ago, and it stuck with me. And then also, you know, so for curriculum, where there's, questionable books in libraries
right.
and things. Like, people ask me, you know, or they might ask, how do you feel about book banning? Well, in their existence, I don't agree with book banning. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe there's, you know, that the school library is the place for a lot of books that are currently there. I don't know if that's something that I would be able to have removed. But I do know that there's some examples set. So, for instance, in Woodland Park, Colorado, mm-hmm. they've got a policy where the questionable books are kept behind the librarian's desk, and they need a parental permission in order to check those books out. So if we're not able to ban them from schools, then maybe we should put in place policies where the parent gets to select, like, yes, I want my child to check this book out.
Right.
And I think opt-in is definitely something that we need to look at.
Well, and I agree with that, because if they're – especially, you know – I went to Fall River High School. That's 7th grade through 12th grade. You leave the elementary school, which is in Fall River, and then you transition to the high school in MacArthur. Well, kindergarten through 6th grade at Fall River, and then you go to 7th grade to 12th grade, all under the same roof in MacArthur. Well, there's a big difference between a 6th grade child and a 12th grade child, because
yes,
they're still children unless they're 18. There's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And so would that 7th grade child be able to go, like you said, check out the book that maybe a senior or a junior would have some, you know, some writings they need to do or something like that? I would encourage that to occur. Like you said, you know, have the books available, but parents have to have the permission shared with the school for that child to be able to check that book mm-hmm. out. And I agree with that, because you're not banning the books.
Right.
You're just limiting the younger ones from being exposed to them. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Sense with having the wide age group.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, and, you know, there's some really good literature, out there that, you know, yeah, it's questionable, but at the same time, it's got to be age appropriate. Mm-hmm. It always has to be age appropriate.
I have a 10-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. And there's, even though it's only 3 years, you're right, there's a very big difference mm-hmm. in their levels of maturity.
Yeah.
And just like there's a big difference in their personalities
yeah.
and, you know, what inspires them. And so, yeah. Absolutely.
And not every child is ready to do that, even as a junior or a senior. They're not ready for that. You know, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's different. Everybody matures at a different level. Hormones kick in and chaos ensues, you know.
Yep.
It's just mm-hmm. it's just crazy that we put a blanket statement on every child to do that when it's not right.
Absolutely.
And we have to know our own children. The parents, number one, have to mm-hmm. know their own children to know that, okay, yeah, that would be appropriate for my senior to read. But even within the same family, they would have, you know, somebody else that, no, don't want them to ever read it, you know? So you just never know.
Exactly.
You just never know. I mean, because if you have multiple children, you know that they're not all the same.
No, nope, they're not. They're not. And I think about that with, you know, with my kids. Like my daughter, both my kids currently go to Christian schools, and they go to two different schools. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, I like where she's at. I like the size for mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. But for my son, I'd really like to see him, you know, at high school, go to Central Valley. I think that he would thrive in the bigger environment. I think he needs his peers. He mm-hmm. needs, like I was saying earlier, the sports opportunities and extracurricular and the robotics. Like, I think that every kid is different. And so the smaller environment for my daughter is a really good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for my son, totally different. Completely different kid.
Okay, so now you've said you're running the race, and mm-hmm. let's transition to that just a little bit now.
Okay.
So you're out. Are you, you know, doing the handshake and the meet and all that kind of stuff? Are you able to do that? Or
yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yes, I am able to do that. So.
And the reason I say that is because you were injured earlier,
and
I noticed today you walked in here didn't have any assistance, no crutches or anything else, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
it was
good.
It was interesting. Right after I started running for the race, within a couple weeks, I broke my knee. Playing laser tag with my kids. It was a lot of fun. And, well, with my two kids, my husband, my nephew, his wife, and his kid, we were playing boys against girls. And, yeah, and I was doing really well until I broke my knee. And then,
holy cow.
And it was a lot of fun. And it was just dark. And when we get older, like, I thought the floor was in one place, but it wasn't there. So I stepped down and there was no floor. And anyway, so, yeah, I've been hobbling around on crutches and, I have been getting out as much as I can. Some days I'm walking 3 to 5 hours, and I'll tell
wow.
you that I've lost the crutches as of last week. And, I mean, I didn't lose them. I know right where they're at, but they're not with me.
Yeah.
And And I'm still able to do the 3 to 5 hours out there. And,
okay, good.
And it's tiring, but it's worth it.
Well, maybe that's the best physical therapy you could have is walking out there carefully and getting back into it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. But, I'm getting out. I'm meeting as many people as I can.
Okay, so what's a typical question that the people ask you? Like, why are you running? Or why would you do that?
I don't know if I've given them the opportunity to ask me that. I introduce myself, and I tell them why I'm running, and then usually a conversation will start. And for the most part, people stand in agreement with me on you know, the bills coming down from the state that they're not in agreement for.
Okay.
And, or not in agreement with. And, but some of the questions I do get are actually a little more hands-on questions. So, for instance, they ask, you know, how we can fix some of the issues with the bus routes as far as their house hasn't, you know, their neighborhood hasn't been included in bus routes, and how do we get buses out there? Mm. And so that brought up thoughts in my mind. So, for instance, the Gold Hills neighborhood and my own neighborhood, those neighborhoods are both Gateway and Columbia. And so it's Gateway for the opening and then Columbia on the back end. Mm. So to use the same entrance, Gateway and Columbia buses both run into the neighborhood. Oh. And to me, that feels wasteful when Gateway's picking up 2/3 of the kids and Columbia's picking up 1/3 of the kid. And it's based on where that line is.
Yeah.
And so I know this isn't something that would be the Gateway School District's ability to rezone, but it's something that I would love to look at with the Chess County Office of Education, mm-hmm. As far as the zoning lines, having it make sense so that one entrance is one, mm-hmm. like those neighborhoods that have one entrance, they have one district that they belong to instead of two, because to me that's wasted bus drivers, wasted bus.
Dual.
And so there's some efficiencies that can be looked at. And if we could do that, then could we then spare extra buses to hit some of these other houses that haven't been able to have bus service? I've had people talk about the disciplinary action. So like a teacher might give disciplinary action to a kid, and then the parents call and contest it, and then it's overridden. So there's that's something the school board definitely can have a hand on, is enforcing, like standing behind teachers when they make appropriate disciplinary action decisions. Right. And so, you know, if the teacher has no control in their classroom, then that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the kids. It doesn't help the teachers. It doesn't help the other kids.
Right.
And so, but the school board can stand up for the teachers in that way. And, yeah, there's just when I'm asked questions, it's actually really good questions that bring my mind to think about real solutions.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go off to our break, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes. Time has come for 51.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Back at it. Okay, I'm here with Camille King, who is running for Gateway Unified School District, Area 2, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so that's going to be happening, what? November what?
November 7th November is 7th. The election.
Is the election. Okay, cool.
And ballots, we mentioned this earlier, but ballots went out this last week. Okay. And you can vote anytime. I know that I'm going to be taking my ballot to the county clerk's office a little early.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Casting your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's what it's all about. Yeah, I encourage everybody to do that, to take it to the registrar's office. Don't just drop it in the mail. Take it in, get it done, get it accounted for.
Absolutely.
And if you want to, just hold on to it till the day of the election and go in there and just drop it then, you know, mm-hmm. or early, whatever you want it to do. Is there a website or a social media account that people can, you know, look you up and find out what you stand for and see what you're doing?
Absolutely. I don't have social media.
Okay.
I mean, I have my personal.
Right.
A lot of people have suggested that I get a social media page, but I just...
It's one more thing?
It's not so much that as I don't love the platforms.
Yeah.
And so...
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah. But so I still might add one, even though there's only a few weeks left. But I do have a webpage. It's CamilleKingForGateway.com.
Okay.
And so I have it both...
For the listeners, can you spell your first name just to make sure?
CamilleE.
Perfect.
KING for gateway.com. And I bought both domains spelled out, FOR, and also the number
and
four.
There you go.
So, yeah, you can look me up either way.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Good. So. Okay. And then, so how can people help you? If you're looking, are you looking for help? I mean, is there a way people can help you with your campaign? And, you know,
there is a way people can help me with my campaign.
Okay.
And I will, of course, make sure, like, if I want to meet you first. I want to know who you are.
You have to bet.
And,
yep.
And absolutely, but I'm making phone calls and I'm showing up, you know, doing a little canvassing door to door. And many hands make light work. So
yep.
Absolutely. That's going to be the biggest way. And
do they contact you through your website? Is that how?
They can. On my website, okay. I do have my email
okay.
that, where people can contact me that way.
Okay.
Or I'll just tell you right now, it's CamilleCK44@gmail. So it's CamilleCK44@gmail.
Okay.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And so, but I want to know that you truly agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and also, same with voting. Vote for me if you agree with me.
Right.
Look into what you want to vote for and vote based on how you believe. I'm not going to give you information that I don't believe to be true, because if I set standards that I don't live by, then that's what I'll be held accountable to later.
Right.
So anyway, get to know me. If you have questions, ask me. I'm happy to answer. And if you believe in me, vote for me. And if you believe in me that much more, then let me know if you want a yard sign in your yard. Let me know if you want to make phone calls on my behalf or join me in canvassing. So,
okay. Yeah. So you're doing the phone calls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How's that working?
So it's going fine. It's going okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And
do you get good feedback on those?
Not as much as when I meet people in person.
When you meet face-to-face? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about the phone. I don't know what it is. A lot of people, it's like, you see a number that you don't recognize. And I'm guilty of that, too. I usually don't answer them just because if I don't recognize the number, even if it's not just in my phone, but if it's one I don't recognize, I don't answer them just because you don't know what you're getting.
Correct.
So, I don't know. Just
So, I have a small business, and I run, and my phone number's applied to my business. And so, I always try to answer every phone call that I get, no matter what.
Okay.
And I usually, you know, if it's very rarely someone that I don't want to talk to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that people are supporting and they're out there. And you have people that are walking with you and doing all that kind of stuff. That's good.
Yeah.
Especially early on when you're trying to devote yourself like
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. And especially with some of the rural areas that we've got in my area, too, of the Gateway District, there's a lot of walking between some houses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They live on large properties. What have you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That can do it. That can do it.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the – let's go back to – okay, I know we talked a little bit about the reasoning why you're running, but what are some of the things that you're really looking to help either fortify or change when you get into office? What are you looking to fix or to just, you know, really ramp up and be a big supporter of?
Okay. Well, first off, I believe that I know I said it before where, or maybe I didn't, but where I feel like I know the people that don't take their kids to the district. I might have said it too before we started this.
Okay.
But so because I have my kids in private schools, I can speak for the people who also don't have their kids in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to make changes where people feel safe bringing their kids to schools in the Gateway District.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, people, they want to have more families there. They want to have more kids. The school board and people that are also in the school, they want more families to come. And I know that I can see why people aren't taking their kids currently. And so I would like to make changes that where parents know that they can trust that their kids are being taken care of when they drop them off at school. And so we could get more families saying, yeah, let's bring our kids to the Gateway schools. I'd also like to see a sense of pride. There's some great things going on at these schools. And I'd like to see, you know, kids say, I go to Gateway schools. You know,
right.
I go to Central Valley. I go to Mountain Lakes. I'd love to see them excited about it. And I know that some are, but I really feel like the schools can have that level of excitement. And as far as how to do that, it's going to be about, you know, giving shout outs to the successes, helping to I've heard wonderful things about Grand Oaks as far as their principal. I've heard that their principal is really good about keeping the parents informed and being on top of what's happening with the kids. And I've had parents tell me, if you could take what's happening at Grand Oaks and model it throughout the district, they're like, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And so of course, getting in there, meeting the staff, seeing what they're doing, and just taking their successes and you know, shouting those out while taking the areas that they can improve and making them better. So my history in my life has been in retail management and working for corporations. And so that's a lot of what you do. You look at what your staff is doing right. You look at what your store is doing right. You make the most you can out of that to increase your profits while you're fixing the problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my history is in doing. And you can apply that to schools just the same as you can apply it
pretty
to business.
Pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And human resources. I know that you've got to keep people knowing when they're doing the right thing, you know, congratulating them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people aren't doing the right thing, it's not about discipline, in my opinion. It's about just their perspective is different than their bosses a lot of times. So, like, if someone's not doing the right thing, it's just about helping them to see, oh, yeah, I can see where maybe if I did this, it would be better.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's only so much involvement in, you know, that the school board has with specific teacher performances. But I, you know, it's as far as the staff goes, I know that, you know, I can apply my skills and my experience to just to help get the best out of the employees. And I know right now one of the things that all schools are facing is having a hard time having enough teachers and keeping them, maintaining them.
Right.
And so what do the teachers need for support where they feel like they want to stay? And so you know, one of the things I've heard in getting to know people is that some teachers will be hired and they're great teachers and then they'll move on to another district, because it's like the next step in their career. Well, why are they taking that next step? What are we not providing in Gateway that is making them go to other schools?
Do you do does your district do exit interviews?
You know, I'm not sure if they do.
I mean,
that's something I'll look into.
To me, that would be the first thing, is just find out why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why are you moving on? Is it truly a school, or are you leaving the area? You know, leaving the area, okay, that's, you know.
Right, we get that.
Okay, I get that. But if you're leaving to go to another school, you know, 5 miles away, what's the reasoning? You know, does your best friend work at that school? Okay, well, yeah, you want to go work where your friend is. Whatever, you know, where your children already go to that school because that's where you live. Okay, you can figure all that out, but if there are some situations that need to be addressed that you're not even aware of, and you can find those bits of information out through an exit interview, by golly, you should be doing it just to find out, just have the information.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not necessarily that any action's going to be taken, mm-hmm. but at least having the information or watching it if it perpetuates enough times, and it's like, okay, we really have an issue here. We need to get this resolved.
Absolutely. And I will say that there's a lot that I'm going to be learning on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I am new to how the school system itself works.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my experience and the way that I think, I know it won't be a problem for me to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of things that, you know, the real issues that I want to address. How do we keep those great teachers? How do we get more?
Right.
And I feel like the Gateway School District can be a district that people are excited to be part of on the staff, on the parent, and the kid level. And
I know a couple of really great teachers that work in the Gateway School District.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, because I don't know all of them, I just know a couple of them, and those that I do know are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine if you had a whole district full of those teachers, holy cow.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, and it's contagious,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have good teachers and you give them praise, like you were talking about a moment ago, you don't know what you can do as far as, like, the HR aspect, but you can praise anybody for good works. And
mm-hmm.
coming from the school board, that's great. You know, they're recognizing the staff.
Absolutely.
And whether they're certified staff or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, you recognize everybody for doing their job and doing it well. That is contagious.
Absolutely.
And they look forward to hearing, okay, who's the next one? You know, who's the next one? And then when it turns out to be them, it's like, holy cow, you know. It's nice just to have that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
The pat on the back, the attaboy or attagirl, you know, that's always a good thing to have, because you're buying loyalty by doing that, and you're buying the appropriate way of treating staff. Truly.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just treat your staff right. They're
mm-hmm.
going to work harder for you,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to do better jobs, and they're going to be more inclined to do the things that are absolutely necessary to keep on going.
Absolutely. And the staff that I've met, there's not a single one that I haven't enjoyed meeting and that I don't feel positive about. And
good.
So, you know, I've met the new superintendent briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I've met one of the principals, some teachers, and, you know, a couple people at the office at the school district's office,
mm-hmm.
and they've all been very helpful and very, you know, very, very nice. And, we absolutely, like, I think it's got some great people. There are
good.
Some great people that are part of that team.
And that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, sometimes when an agency, I'm going to call it that for the moment, just because it's a school district, but different things happen here in Shasta County, you hear of things happening. It's like, you often hear more of the negative than you do the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there might be a fraction of truth to some of that, maybe not all of it, because by the time it gets passed around, and, you know, the blow up and the enhancement of the stories, sometimes they're like, is it really that bad or whatever? But then you don't really often hear about the good stuff. And I like hearing the good stuff too, because I want to know
mm-hmm.
that, you know, things are going well. And I assume, and I'm always optimistic about stuff. I assume good things are happening. Just because I don't know about it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right.
And I always assume that good things are happening. So it's good to hear that. And
mm-hmm.
I know that parents would be happy to hear that, okay, yeah, the school that they have their children in is doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It would help them. And
absolutely.
Might be more likely to come participate, you know, when asked or
mm-hmm.
what have you. So that would be good. Now, with I just lumped my train of thought just got derailed. Okay, I'm sorry.
I had
a thought. It's like, oh, I was going to go there, and I can't think of what it was. I apologize.
That's okay. That's what happens when you have a conversation. Because one person might be on one track and the other person goes on the other one.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I was going to segue into something, but now I don't know. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I do that quite often. Okay, so is there anything else that you want us to know? You know, we have about 10 minutes left, so is there anything else that you want us to know about you as a candidate and where you're going to go with working and doing your best for the school board?
That's funny because that should be a question I should be ready to answer, but for some reason it's taken me off guard just a little bit. So as far as something I haven't already covered, if I repeat myself, then
that's okay.
There's an apology ahead of time.
No. Go ahead.
Basically, I'm a mother that, you know, that I love my kids and I love my kids' peers, and I really want to see what's best for them. So for me running as a candidate, it is with their futures in mind. It is, and, you know, parents, families, and educators, staff mm-hmm. are all very important, but the ultimate goal is about making the best future for these kids and all kids, all kids. And, to make the school district, just to look at it from a perspective of trying to make it a desirable place to be is where I come from. And I welcome feedback. I welcome constructive feedback, and I welcome positive feedback. And when people bring a question to me that I don't have an answer to, I'm the type that will look into it or sit there and think on it for a while and mm-hmm. and brainstorm. I definitely want to see what's best for this district. And it's not about, like when I say I stand for parental rights, it's not a parent versus teacher. It takes everybody to get this, to make sure that these schools are functioning the best they can for these kids.
Right.
And so, in what ways can we make sure to support all and bring them all together? So when I, when I talk about being parent, standing up for parental rights right now, it's just because that's where I feel like the state is doing a lot of override. It's not because I don't stand with teachers as well. So in my history, I have been a room mom since my kids have been in school. So, and like I said, my daughter's 13 now, so this will be the ninth year. And room mom for my son, for my daughter. Now that my daughter's older, it looks a little different. So I'm no longer doing class parties and helping, kids learn in class. I'm now doing things like driving for field trips and supplying supplies, scoring the volleyball games,
That transition.
My son, I still get to hold class parties and help the teacher when she wants help.
Okay.
I've volunteered before as a Girl Scout troop leader for 4 years, and I also mentored through the Catalyst Mentorship Program with CHIVA, which is the alternative high school in our area out on Airport Road. And so I do, I've always cared about kids, and this is just the next thing that I'm looking at as a way I can help.
Okay.
So,
well, now with that, have you been involved with the budgeting or anything like that? Have you got to review the budget?
I've tried to review the budget for the school district, and I'm an on paper person. Mm-hmm. I don't like to spend too much time looking at a computer screen. So when I printed the budget, it felt like it was a couple hundred pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have not gone through the whole thing. But I have tried, and I know when I'm on the school board, then that'll be my job, and so I'll definitely be able to, take time out of my day, scheduled this time is for reviewing the budget.
Right.
And so.
Okay.
Definitely something that needs to be looked at.
Absolutely, and that's the thing too. A lot of times questions can be answered in those, mm-hmm. or questions can be brought out from those. It's like, why is so much money going to X, Y, or Z?
Exactly.
And why is so little going to X, Y, or Z? You know, you look through it and just kind of figure it all out and have dialogue and with the appropriate people that you can, mm-hmm. because I'm assuming that you're not going to be able to do, for Brown Act violations, you're going to have to be careful on not talking to too many board members.
Yeah.
Which is always so frustrating. You would think that we'd be able to have a society where we could trust each other, where we can do all that and just make it happen, mm-hmm. and talk to each other and make sure that we're doing the right things, do the right things,
mm-hmm.
and not to be afraid that when during a board meeting the questions come up, you ask the questions and not be fearful for what's going on. Okay, I guess we have a caller right now, so we're going to answer the call here. And this is Lily. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, did I hear correctly that she said that her children do not go to the schools in the area, that they're in private schools?
Yes, you heard correctly. My children go to Christian schools. They did go to public school, and I pulled them during COVID, and I would like for my son to be able to attend Central Valley when he's in high school. So I do have desire for my kids to be able to attend the Gateway schools. I just want to make sure that they are safe where I feel like they're safe from some of the stuff coming down from the state.
So you don't even have a dog in the hunt here because your children don't even go there.
Well, like I said,
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I think you're the wrong person to be representing.
And I appreciate you, you know, thinking for yourself and making your choice based on your feelings. I do feel like I have, you know, something at stake because, like I said, I want my children to be able to attend. And I don't like spending the money, and I don't like the drive it takes to get to my kids to these other schools. And I also feel like they'd do better if they were able to be in a public school. So, Gateway Central Valley offers a lot for kids. And I would love to feel like they're safe where they can go.
What is it at Central Valley that you know of or heard of that makes your children unsafe?
So it's not Central Valley specifically. It's actually the bills that the state is passing. So where they are trying to say that parents don't need to be notified if their children are being bullied or if they are thinking of suicide or if they are thinking of transitioning.
Hold on a second. Hold on. That's not true. There is a rule that they have to be told if they're being bullied.
Okay, so but on the suicide, it's not. It says they may be
in the school, so I know that.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And I know that, you know, it says that they may be notified for some of the other issues, but it doesn't say they need to be.
Excuse me?
She didn't hear what you,
you said.
For suicide, it says they may be notified, but it doesn't say they must be notified. For the bullied, I'm glad to hear that it is a requirement.
Well, so is the suicide, because, like I said, I have a family member in the district that does work, and she does do that. So I just wanted to clear that up, but that's not true.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's just totally not true. But I wish I know people that have children in the district. I'm not going to be voting, but I listen to this radio show every week, and I'm just like, can't believe that they'd be putting someone up that doesn't even have children at the school district. That's just is like, I'm just like flabbergasted here.
Just a moment, Lily, there are two board members sitting on the board that don't have any children in the district.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, they're there, and they're the ones that are anti-everything that we all stand for.
Well, I personally think that you should have children in the district, but I also believe your children should go to the schools in the district.
Well, also, she's a taxpayer in the district. Her business and her home, she pays taxes for that.
But her children aren't going there, so she has no... She obviously doesn't think that the schools are good enough for her children.
And that's what she wants. That's why she wants to get in there and to help fix that.
But she has no reason, well, I see what side you're on, but she has no reason to...
The right side.
There's two sides to every story, believe it or not.
I believe
it. I don't even know, I don't know the man running. I don't have a dog either on the tent, but I just think it's not right for someone to be running for something that they're not even involved in. Her children aren't even in the school. I mean, I'm just giving you another side for all your listeners, that because I noticed no one else has called in, and I just feel that's kind of a...
I feel like I have something at stake because like I said, I would love for my kids to go, but I don't feel like they can. And I want them to, and I want to make the changes where they will be attending. And so to me, I feel like I do have stuff at stake because I'm already losing a lot of opportunities and really want to get them into the school district. But I need to first make sure that I feel comfortable with them there.
I think you could rest assured to send your children there because I see nothing to fear. I don't understand what you're so scared of. Because you will be notified. Especially, go in and tell the child counselor. If they have suicidal thoughts or this, be sure to call me. But I'm telling you, they already do that. But it's just unfathomable that you're not going to send your children to the school district that you're running in. Okay, well, that's all I have to say. Have a good day.
Thank you, Lily.
Have a good day as well.
Given the second side.
Okay, so let's go to Dolores. We have Dolores on the line. Good morning, Dolores. Dolores, are you there?
Yes. I don't like what she's saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, but we only have like a minute and a half, so make it quick, please.
Yeah, I will make it. I will. Believe me. Good morning. Hi. I don't think I could hear you, but...
We can hear you, Dolores.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay. Yes, Camille is the right person to run for that school board, and she will be elected. And if you guys out there, the listeners, you know Greg Watkins for the mayor of Shasta Lake, has endorsed her, and Greg Watkins never endorses people in the Gateway or any school board. So that says a lot. So she will get elected, and she is the right person, regardless if she's got kids in that school, because the other two people have been there 25 years, the school board members. They continue to go the opposite against the parents. So they have no stake in that fight. So Camille does. She has the right, everything she's going to do, she's